Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Praise God. Turn with me to the Word of the Lord, if you would. Sister Wanda, we've been praying for you. I guess it's all right. Sister Wanda's father earned his wings. You know, I've been preaching all these years, and I'm still finding ways. I just don't like some of our terminology. I hated to have to say my mother died when she passed. I don't even like the word passed, but I like it better now. They've earned their wings. I like that. Sounds a whole lot better, doesn't it? Praise God. And I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, once somebody has taken off, I'm just going to assume everybody I know, all of my family members, have earned their wings. I'm not going to meditate on negative things. I'm going to believe that God's grace is amazing. I'm going to believe that His mercy is fresh every morning. And so, Sister Wanda, we're praying for you that God would continue to give you strength, because you and James are two of the strongest Christians I've ever met. And there's no way that we can communicate how our family feels about you. You are just unmovable. We love you so very much. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man said, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That's an amazing verse right there. Just saying, well, I believe in the Lord is not salvation. Because as he said, even the devil does that, and said he's not saved. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You may be seated. I preached a part of this a few sessions ago, called it The Birth and Death of Faith, Part 1. Today I'm calling it The Birth and Death of Faith, Part 2. But I really should have called it Keeping Faith Alive. Keeping Faith Alive. The Bible said above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. It's the only time we're told to do something above all. That word, that phrase, above all, is used in the Bible, but it's used about things like Jesus, the name above all. But never are we commanded to by any scripture, above all, do this thing except with faith. Every person that gets saved has to have faith. But sadly, many, if not most, of those people that get saved are not able to maintain that faith and keep their faith and live a life of perpetual victory. Having faith is a decision. Like everything else, Becky told me years ago, everything is a decision. Having faith is a decision. I don't need evidence. I've simply decided to have faith. Faith is the mother to all the children of virtue and all the children of warfare. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, you may quench, that's warfare, the darts of the devil. What about hope? Oh, hope is good, but faith is great. The punctuation mark of hope is a question mark, but the punctuation mark of faith is an exclamation mark. Above all is faith. Faith for your finance. Faith for your salvation. Faith for a pandemic. Faith in the time of illness. James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, the son of Mary and Joseph, is standing against a heresy of the church. It was a heresy that was there. A heresy that is now, it flies in the face of dozens of scriptures that are given to us by the prophets, by the apostles, and even Jesus Christ himself. That teaching is that we can be saved by confession of faith alone, without obeying the gospel. The Bible emphatically teaches us that we must be obedient to the teachings of Christ. Jesus' own brother said, faith without works is dead. The man who espouses the greasy grace doctrine, he said he uses that word, does so in vain. He continues, James does, that the evidence of faith is works. To confess faith and resist works is to deceive not only other people, but worst of all is to deceive yourself. James said, I will show you my faith by my works, but you cannot show me your faith if you have no works. The moment faith does not have a corresponding work, it dies. And that's the reason why so many people that have faith for salvation never continue a victorious, overcoming life. They have not the corresponding work, and so somewhere their faith dies. There's been a murder down on Church Row. The preachers and teachers have been the culprits. The attack on works has resulted in the death of faith. Let us all agree without question. We are saved by faith and by faith alone. In a false attempt to highlight faith, the preachers and teachers have attacked work. Faith cannot live without works. That's what the Bible says. Works is the oxygen of faith. It's not faith or works. It is works by faith. Works are the fruit of faith. If that which by nature is created to produce fruit is not allowed to create that fruit, it will inevitably die and become extinct. True faith is becoming extinct by the attack on the works that faith demonstrates. Works keeps faith alive. Building up your faith, the writer said. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith in the Holy Ghost. It is all works. We try to decide what is works. When we talk about works and attack them scripturally, we're attacking those that thought they could be saved by the works of the law in Judaism. But it's not the things of the Scripture or the New Testament. It's all works. Prayer is a work. You don't know that prayer is a work, you've never prayed much. Prayer is a work. Giving is a work. Worship is a work. Coming to church is a work. Charity and whatever you do, the food bank, it's all work. You cannot have works without faith. You cannot have faith without works. It's the teaching of the modern church was correct. It wouldn't be the book of Acts. It would be the book of the actionless. They did nothing, according to what people say today. But the Bible tells us to be not hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. On the day of Pentecost, when they were convicted of their sins, when Peter preached that great sermon, the first thing they did is said, what must we do? And there was something to be done, and Peter told them what it was. Call it what you want to. Repentance is an action. Baptism is an action. The Bible calls it an answer of a good conscience toward God. Prayer is an action. Worship is an action. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You can't sit on the sidelines. It's not a few people in the arena and the rest of the believers sitting in the stands. Oh, no. Everyone that is truly saved is on the ground floor, in the arena, in the place of action, doing something for the kingdom of God. Jesus always gave instructions. Stretch out your withered hand, he would say. Wash your blind eyes. Pick up your bed and walk. Break your alabaster box. Give me your lunch, boy. Knock on the closed door. Ask from he that has. Seek that which is lost. Jesus was always giving us instructions today. And that's the reason why very few people have great faith. They're people of inactivity. They simply believe on the Lord one time and then sit down while all of Laodicea applauds. Oh no, my friend. If you truly got saved, you will immediately spring into action and begin to do the things of God. Works is not a dirty word, or Jesus would have not used it. It's a dirty word. Works is to the faithless. It's a dirty word to the complacent. It's a dirty word to the lazy. It's a dirty word to the self-deceptive. Works is a dirty word to the theologian. Works is a dirty word to those who want to accept Christ but have no desire to pick up their cross and follow him. To those that want to accept Christ and follow the world, works is a dirty word. But not to Jesus, or he would not have used it when he was addressing the church at Ephesus. When he said in the very last book of the Bible, Jesus is still talking about works. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent. Jesus said, do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Jesus was constantly giving instructions to be obeyed. Speak to the mountain. Rise up. Take up your bed. Walk. If faith can't walk, if faith can't talk, it will die. Faith has to speak. Jesus did not save you to become mute. He saved you to become a verbal, vocal witness, forever showing forth His praise, as the Bible said. We are a peculiar people, a called out people to do what? To show forth the praises of God. And friend, that is work. But what saith it? Paul would write in Romans chapter 10, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Faith speaks. And if faith does not speak, faith dies. You cannot keep your hand over your mouth and be a living epistle that the Bible tells us we should be. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be a prayer. You're going to be a praiser. You're going to be talking about the goodness of the Lord. There's not a person that's saved that cannot say, look what the Lord has done. The Lord has changed me, and the Lord has created me, and I must become a praiser. I must compare my past with my present and my future to give glory to Almighty God. It's not about what I've done. It's about what the Lord has done. He has made me a new creation. Faith is never mute. Faith calleth those things that are not as though they were. That's what faith is. I refuse to be faithless regardless of what's happening in this society. I'm going to declare this is yet our best day, that God is still on His throne, that grace is still falling like rain, that the Spirit of God is still moving mysteriously from side to side, and God still has a victorious church, and His coming is incumbent upon us all. Jesus Christ is still Lord. There is none beside Him. My faith says He is wonderful and glorious and gracious. My faith says He is merciful and He is miraculous. My faith says He is not asleep, but He is wide awake. My faith says He has not vacated His throne, but He is in full authority. My faith says He is not absentee, but He is ever present. My faith says He has not somehow removed His healing, but His stripes are still availing for those that can believe. He is still a healer. That God is in this house today. And regardless of what the newscast says, I believe that God is, was, and shall be. My faith says God is going to sweep this world with His Spirit. The Bible said in the last days, and those very well could be these, the last days, that in those days He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. I listened just briefly to a man today before I walked out to this service, and he said, be assured, it won't be over in 3 or 4 months. He said, more like 3 or 4 years. We will still be dealing with that. Those that are not saved have got faith for the virus to endure. But those of us that have faith have got faith that God is going to pour out His Spirit without reservation. That what the devil has meant for evil is somehow going to be transformed to the greatest revival and the greatest harvest the world has ever known. I don't just have hope, I've got faith. And I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am well. Let the empty say, I am full. Let the lost say, I am saved. Let those that have not say, I possess, because my faith is in God. And there is no limit to His power to save by few or by many. My God is an awesome God. He holds all the power in His hands. There is none before Him or after Him. He is an almighty God. And so, friend, I refuse to sit by and say, I am a believer. My faith requires that I produce works. I cannot keep my mouth shut. I've got to speak, because my faith says, I am not a mute. I will speak. I will tell you of the goodness of the Lord. I will sing of His virtue. I will testify of His trust and tell you that He's a good God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I will tell you that God is in this building today. And it might appear that this building is nearly empty because of those that can't come because of COVID-19. But I want to tell you from the balcony to the wall behind me that this building is filled. And suddenly, the house was filled where they were sitting. I tell you that God is an ever-present help, that He walks these aisles, that He hangs over the balcony, and He stands on this platform, and He dwells in the pew beside you. He is a good God, and He has come to measure your faith. I walked into my lawyer's office the other day, and they met me at the door with a gadget and shot my forehead. And immediately I thought, what if you had a mark in your head, and that's what you have to weigh you do business? It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting set up for it. I tweeted this week, and I said, a mask, yes. A mark, no. A mask, yes. A chip, no. It's nearly there. But they shot me to tell my temperature, and they said, sir, your temperature is 94. Why are you so cool? I said, I've always been cool. Oh, friend, I want to tell you that my God is on this throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is alive and well. And I will not hold my peace. I'm going to cry out that God is good. I'm not going to join with the throng that said this is God's work. I'm going to say, if this is not the devil's work, he's a hitchhiker and he always catches a ride. If he did not start the virus, I can tell you he's a passenger in the passenger seat and he's riding it for everything he can to bring division to this country. But friend, it's not going to work. There's a rumbling from beneath. There is a lightning from above, and my God is getting ready. And all He needs is people that will not let their faith die, but say, praise God, I've had faith since the day I walked the aisle and gave my life to Christ. I've had faith when my mama died. I've had faith when my children were sick. I've had faith when there was no money in the bank. I've had faith when I had a migraine. I've had faith when I didn't have enough shoes to put on my children's feet. And I'm not going to let my faith die in this pandemic. I'm going to say God is, and He is my God. He's my ever-present help in the time of need. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him because my faith simply cannot be quenched. I am a believer. He is the beginning and the end. He is still the God that holds it all in His hand. And praise God, my faith does not need evidence. My faith has no alternative. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, Job said. I'm telling you that God is here right now. And God is now testing your faith. Just like they did with that little thermometer. And they said, you're cool. God is now pulling the trigger. And you know what He's saying all over this building. You got faith. You got faith. Your faith has not died. Your faith has not died. Your faith has not died. The same God that saved me and baptized me in the Holy Ghost knows that I still believe that all the rubble and all the pain and all the sickness and all the death, there is going to rise a phoenix out of the ashes, praise God. And something glorious is going to happen. Out of the ashes is going to come beauty. And I'm just going to keep praising God. I'm just going to keep leaning not on my own understanding, but I'm going to make it through leaning on the Lord. Oh, friend, don't let your faith die. One of our bankers came into the office this week, and she's just been such a friend to me. But I think she really hates Mr. Trump. I think she really does. If you're not very careful, your hatred for Mr. Trump will bleed over into negativity and everything else. And so we tried to tell her that the economy is coming back. She'd have no part of it. Everything positive that I could confess, she would meet with something negative. That's just where they're living. I'm not going to live in the land of death. He is not the God of the dead. He's a God of the living. We are not stones that are placed and dead. We are lively stones. I've got big faith. I've got big faith. I still believe the greatest revival that Living Way's ever seen is coming, praise God. I still believe there will be services not far away that balcony will be filled with people, and many of them not saved. And when Pastor Brandon gets through preaching, they'll stream to the altar by the twos and the threes and the half a dozens to make Jesus Christ their Savior and their Lord. Friend, my faith is big. My faith refuses to die. If you've called the undertaker for my faith, you need to call him again and say, false alarm. His faith is not dead. His faith is alive and well. His faith is rejoicing. His faith isn't doing what it's always done. Call in those things that be not as though they were. Friend, if faith can't walk, it will die. The Bible said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. My faith has to walk. The impotent man at the pool, Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately he was made whole. Faith, praise God. All of Jesus' miracles were couched in faith and sustained by works. If faith can't stretch, it will die. Jesus said, stretch out your hand to the man that had sat for a long time with a withered hand. And when he stretched out his hand, friend, I tell you, it's not a time to just circle the wagons and say we're going to hold our own. It's a time to declare new territory. It's a time businesses are closing. They say 42% of the businesses in America, small businesses, will never, ever reopen. Well, friend, do you know what kind of a market that's going to create in here just a few days? If you've ever thought about taking care of taking a business and making it come into fruition, this would be a good time for you to sit down at your dinner table and start making your plans and writing out. 42% don't come back. That means there is an amazing vacuum for businesses. You always wanted to have a bakery. You always wanted to have a restaurant. You always wanted to make those gizmos that were going to sell on Amazon. Friend, this is the time where you need to sit down and say, let me write out my plan. I've got a plan because, praise God, I'm going to come roaring back. Why? Because my faith just will not die. I've got faith. It will sustain me, and I'm going to stretch it forth in Jesus' name. Jesus always told you to do something. When he touched the man, he said, now go wash your eyes in the pool. When the woman was there with everybody else, she had to touch the hem of his garment. The moment faith does not have a corresponding work, it dies. Pastor, I just don't have enough faith. My response would be to you, where did your faith die? Did it die at the altar? Did it die at the prayer room? Did it die at the baptismal? Did it die at the offering plate? Did it die at worship time? Did it die at disciple time? When did your faith die? I'll tell you when it died. It died when you refused to let the work that corresponds with that faith manifest. God did not call you to be a zombie. God did not save you to be a cadaver. God called you to be not as the Egyptians, but to be lively women and lively men. If there's ever been a time where you ought to put a trumpet to your lips, it's now. If there's ever been a time when you ought to witness, it's now. If there's ever been a time when you should give, it's now. If there's ever been a time when you should praise, it's now. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there is a volcanic victory about to explode in the hearts of those people that have got great faith that is going to shake this nation. God is blessing me. The NBA is playing in a bubble. I've been living in a bubble for a long time. My bubble is called Goshen. Theirs is called Disney World. I'm living in the bubble of God. God's got a canopy of his blessing over me. The NFL is going to start on time, they say. We can close the schools and we can close the churches, but we can't close the arenas. Something wrong with America's perspectives. But ladies and gentlemen, the church can't close. We've got to let our faith be manifest and declare our faith is not dead. Our faith is not even sick. Our faith is not even wounded. Our faith is bigger and badder and stronger than it's ever been. And we're going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. In the name of Jesus, my faith is violent. My faith is taking it by force. My faith is kicking down the door. The faith says, devil, not to me. Maybe somebody else. Maybe the guy on television, but not me and my house. We have declared we will serve the Lord. And He alone will serve. And God has been with me. I woke up about 10 days ago. I was so sick, the world was spinning. Did you ever have vertigo? It ain't fun, folks. I've had it a few times, and it's been very, and the building, and I couldn't hardly stand up. I had to hold on to things. I got a shower. I got dressed. I was so sick. I got in my pickup truck. I got out to the ranch. It was 106 degrees on my truck thermometer, and praise God, I said, I'm not giving in to this. I got out of that truck and began to work. In about 2 hours, I said, I never felt better in all of my life. Said, did you have the virus? No, but the devil was just testing me to see if I wanted it. I said, sorry, send it back. No delivery here. I'm not taking what the devil is selling. The Lord is my strength in the time of need. I'm going to praise Him as long as I can praise Him. I'm going to shout as long as I can shout. I'm going to lift Him up as high as I can. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Brandon will tell you, we have done more horse business in the last 4 months than we've done in the history. And I've been selling horses all of my life. I sold my first horses at 13 years old. We've sold more horses in the last 4 months than we've ever sold in the history of all of our business. Got a contract this past week on one of the real estate deals that I've been. And said, there's no money. The woman said, Steve said, I'm going to have to ask you to carry the note. Well, I really don't want to do that. He said, well, please do it so I can get this bought. The property's $1,150,000. She said, all I got. Now, this is a woman that doesn't have a driver's license. This is a woman that Mr. Trump's hunting for. She's not supposed to be in this country. But she said, Steve, you got to help me on this because I want your place so bad. You're going to have to carry some. I said, I just don't want to do that. She said, all I got's $1,000,000. You're going to have to carry $150,000. I said, oh, I think I can do that. Took her to my lawyer. My lawyer said, you don't have a driver's license? No. Driving a new truck, no driver's license. Beautiful lady, wonderful lady, sweetheart. There's something bad wrong when a woman like that can't get citizenship in America. Working like a dog, come to this country broke a few years ago. And now she said, I got $1,000,000. And she didn't get it selling dope. She got it working. Something wrong with our immigration system. Bad wrong with it. So I carried it to my lawyer. He said, you don't have a driver's license? You don't have any ID? He said, nothing. He said, that's the reason I'm a lawyer. I can fix that just like that. Praise God. $1,000,000. And we're in an economic slump. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just doing a little Jesse on you. Saying if God will do it for Jesse, He'll do it for you. If God will do it for Steve, He'll do it for you. You just got to keep your faith alive. Because I don't know whether you know it or not. The biggest refrigerator trucks are not for the bodies. They're for people whose faith has died. Somebody said, I just didn't think it was going to end this way. Oh, honey, it ain't ended, not by a long shot. We're just getting started for the last leg of the relay. And remember this, they always save the fastest runner for the last leg of the relay. It's fixing to get good. It's fixing to be big. It's fixing to be amazing. And you can sit there till you die, or you can say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. Because I've got faith, and my faith demands works. And there's some things I can do. There's something you can do, and you're the only one that knows what it is. There's something that you can do that will trigger a miraculous lifestyle in yourself and your family, and you just need to get at it. You just need to get at it, praise God. I'm not giving in. I'm planning on having miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm going to be as patriotic as I can. I'm going to be as obedient to our mayor and our county judge and our governor and our president, because that ain't my life. I got another life. I know a lot of folks that's their life. All they do is they're just tied up to politics and watching. Well, that ain't my life. You have to remember, I'm the guy. When Becky had an appointment with the governor, she said, "You going to go with me to meet the governor?" I said, "Not today, Becky. I'm hauling bulls." I had a choice of hauling the bulls or meeting the governor. I chose hauling the bulls. "Hey, governor, I got a life. If you want to talk to me, you're going to have to come out to the ranch, because I'm hauling bulls today." Get a life that's not dependent on who's in the White House or what the county judge is doing or what your neighbor is doing. Praise God. Get your life intact and say, "Praise God, I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm the blessed of the Lord. No matter what happens, the Lord's going to find a way to get it to me. He might have to avoid my neighbor. He might have to avoid somebody in my church that's negative and doubtful and a fearmonger and hateful. He'll avoid them, but praise God, he's going to get it to me. I ain't going to hate nobody because of their color. I'm not even going to hate nobody because of their religion. I know a bunch of my Pentecostal buddies, they just hate Muslims. They wish they could kill every one of them. I love every Muslim, praise God. And I want every one of them to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there's one more line under that. The Bible said he's going to pour out his spirit on them in the last days. There's going to be a revival in the Muslim community like you have never seen. I saw hundreds of thousands of Muslims on a clip the other day, all of them kneeling and giving their life to Jesus at one time. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't over. It ain't about over. It's not even thinking about being over. It's just getting started. Get your faith out. Dust it off and say, "All right, there's something for me to do." And it starts with worshiping him. Will you stand on your feet and lift your hands right now and give God some praise and some glory in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's somebody in the name of Jesus. In the middle of this pandemic, you're going to have the greatest miracle of your life. But Jesus is standing right by you, and he's saying, "Will thou be made whole?" And you got to be able to say yes, and then you got to be able to move. If you are that person, I want you to get out of your pew right now and run down to this altar and say, "Pastor, I agree with you. The biggest..."